Worthy, 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 wor Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you are happy to be in the presence of the Most High God, shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I saw some of us sitting down while the song was going on. We will be forced to stand up now. Of course, I know that some people come to church with heavy hearts and they believe that it is only in the presence of God that that heaviness can be lifted up. But the best way to lift that heaviness up is to sing and dance in the presence of the Most High God. And so, I want to ask our choir once again to please help us. There is this song that says, I don't know it very well. I know a place that is full. I know a place. Yes.
My Father, all the hosts of
heaven gathered.
Holy,
all his people.
Holy, holy, holy,
mercy and compassion. His kindness is great towards us. He has made us his people.
Holy, holy.
The Lord is plenteous in mercy. From everlasting to everlasting, his mercy remains the same. His truth endures forever. He dwells in unsearchable light. The cherubim and the seraphim, they bow before him.
That's full of grace.
Oluwawa. Olùgbèjáwa, bẹ̀bẹ̀ ọ̀run tó tó olùgbòtùjò, alágbàwíwa, olùrànlọ́wọ́ wa, ọba fògo tògo ológodi bàbàrà. Ancient of days, we worship you, Lord. We give you worship. We extol your name, O God of heaven. Far above principalities and powers. We worship you, Father. Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ. Oh, we worship you. I know a name.
Hallelujah. 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 Our Most High God, we worship you. We ascribe unto you glory and honor. Only you deserve our worship. We bow before your throne. And we say unto him who sits on the throne, be glory, honor, power, majesty, dominion forever and ever. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. I want to use this opportunity to appreciate the leadership of the church for this glorious opportunity. I want to thank you for all your labor over the church. And my prayer is that our labor will not be in vain in Jesus' name. The title of today's message says, Don't Leave Zion. Don't Leave Zion. Don't Leave Zion. Please, I will make our indulgence that we are going to read two scriptures together. We will read one together, the other one, we read it responsively. We will start from the book of Psalm. Psalm 137, verses 1 to 6. The book of Psalm is before the book of Job. It's after the book of Job, and it's before the book of Proverbs. So if you don't know where the book of Psalm is, at least I've given you a clue now. And Psalm 137 is between Psalm 136 and Psalm 138. So if you have opened it, can't it be on your feet? We will read responsively. I will read verse 1, you read verse 2, and I read verse 3, then on and on like that. Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Ye, we wept when we remember Zion. Verse 2. For they that carry us away captive require of us a song, and they that wasted us require of us meat, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. Amen. We are still going back to that psalm later on. Let's open to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, which is in the New Testament. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. We are reading this together. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39. Can we go? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Father, we ask that you brood over your word. We ask, O God, that you speak to our hearts this morning. The Bible says the entrance of your word gives life, and it gives understanding unto the simple. As we journey into the world of liberty this morning, we are asking you, faithful God of Israel, that you will speak to our hearts. And the purpose of the message, Father, let it be an eternal purpose in our lives. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. The title once again, Don't Leave Zion. Now, if you look at the passage we read in the book of Psalm 137, it talks about the experience of the children of Israel when they were taken to captivity. And there, their tormentor were making jest of them. Sing for us the songs of Zion. And while they were there, they remembered Zion. And they were hungry. They were not happy. But the question is, why did they remember Zion? They remember Zion because they have left the place. You can only remember the place you have left. You can only bring to mind the place that you have abandoned. So they were remembering Zion because they have left. And their experience was so terrible that they were crying, asking God for deliverance. But the question is, if they had remained in Zion, their enemies would not be mocking them. That is why the topic again is telling us this morning, don't leave Zion. Don't leave Zion. I am aware there are so many things that happens to us as children of the Most High God. And it is possible that at a time, one may want to decide and said, I don't think it is necessary to continue in this race. But God is telling us this morning, don't leave Zion. The message is meant for three sets of people. Those who have left. Those who are once in Zion, but they have left. The message is for them this morning. Those who have never been to Zion at all. They have never given their life to Jesus. The message is also for them. And the message is also for those who are still in Zion. Though the topic addresses more the people who are living in Zion, and we will dwell more on that. Like I said, as Christians, there are things we experience in life that at a point you want to go back. I'm trying not to speak Yoruba, but there are some expressions that are better said in Yoruba. So please, once in a while, if you heard me, hear me saying some things in Yoruba, if it looks like speaking in tongues in your ear, please look for somebody who can interpret for you. Write it down, and after the message, the person will interpret it for you. We have some of our brethren here. Bronifas is there. Braebziva is there. Our elder Okoni is there. They will interpret for you. All right. You know, there are situations you get to in life that even the best counselor doesn't know how to counsel you. There are situations where you get to, a counselor will come to you and say, Tobacco juice here, Kota. Tobacco in here, Kota. Tobacco one nikan. I'm just speaking in tongues. But you see, there are situations where you get to, even the best counselor, except the Holy Spirit, you will not know the next step to take. You will not know. We are living in a country where we die almost every day. Situations are terrible. And everybody's looking for a way out. And before we know it, we begin to compromise. We begin to live, as it were, the presence of God. Last week we were talking about the presence of God. And when the message was on, because what I want to discuss also has to do with dwelling and remaining in the presence of God. I was like, this is a confirmation. Should I change the topic? But I had a nudge that no, still say it. Because Yoruba says, ko ko ko, la ran fa di ti. Sorry. Ti alagbade o ba nlu irin loju kan na. Odun to fe mu jade ni. So, when God is repeating statement over and over, there is something he wants to bring out. Yesterday when we came for the men's prayer meeting, a brother was sharing his experience with us, and it is also in same in the line with this. He told us about the revelation he had, rapture. And if I mention the name of the brother, when they are saying rapture will take place, you will say that this brother also should be among the people that will rapture. Because when you look at him externally, we look at everything perfect. But in that revelation, in that dream, he was left behind. I was almost crying there. I began to explain myself too. Because sometimes situation and condition of life choked life. in us so much that we will not know when we have deviated, when we have left the presence of God. My prayer for us this morning is that whoever that have left, this message will touch your heart and you will come back. Whoever that is in Zion but are mourning, this message is for you. The Bible says, comfort them that mourn in Zion. So sometimes you can be in Zion and you still be mourning. Let's look at what Zion represents. The different meaning of Zion, what it represents. I will go through that quickly, but I will dwell more on what is required of us to remain in Zion. Number one, we have physical Zion. Pardon me. I hope I will not drink water more than Boaziba. Physical Zion. This physical Zion is located in Jerusalem. It is like a hill that is in front or beside the Jerusalem, the entrance of Jerusalem. This is a physical Zion where people travel to for pilgrimage. People go there to pray. You remember the case of the woman of Samaritan when he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And he was telling Jesus, he said, you people said, the best place to worship is Jerusalem, the mountain in Jerusalem. But Jesus was telling me, he said, the time is coming when those who will worship the Lord will worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And you will not need to be going from one mountain to another. So there is a physical mountain that is called Mount Zion. That is called Zion. The Zion I'm referring to today is not that kind of mountain. It is a mountain in Jerusalem that people go to for pilgrimage, for prayers. It is good if you are rich, if you have money to go, we can go there. This type of Zion, you can, if you have money, you can go there through aeroplane, through road, and whatever. That is the physical Zion. Okay? There is the second Zion, which is the spiritual Zion. And that is the place that I want to talk a little bit more about. This is a location where we cannot see physically. No matter how rich you are, aeroplane cannot take you there. Even rockets cannot take you there. One of the reasons I said we should sing that song again is because the best thing, what we can do to get to that Zion, one of it is through praise. Praise takes you to that Zion. It is a holy place. It is the kingdom of heaven. God's domain, where his dwelling resides, where he resides. It can also be called the throne of grace. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18 to 25, Zion could be referred to as the spiritual headquarters of God, where angels, living saints, and cloud of witnesses, both spirits and those who are still alive, gathered to worship, to fellowship together with God. So it can be referred to as the presence of God, and we can say two more and more about that. That is the spiritual Zion that we are talking about. The third Zion, according to the scripture, are the people. The people. Of course, we have heard of daughters of Zion, the people of God, peculiar people, choosing generations. So when we talk about Zion also, we are referring to the people who dwell in Zion. the fourth Zion, which may not be physically translated as Zion, but spiritually speaking, or if we want to look at it critically, because when we are talking about Zion, we are talking about where the presence of God is your assigned physical location. Your assigned physical location, where God has assigned you to be at a period in time. In the book of Exodus chapter 33, verse 14 to 18, when the people of Israel wanted to move, Moses told God, he said, if your presence will not go with us, if your presence will not go with us, we are not going to leave this place. So, he's talking about wherever you are, assigned by God for that particular moment of time. And this could be anywhere in the world. It could be in Nigeria, it could be in USA, it could be in the village, it could be in the city. So any place that it is God who have assigned you to be there for a purpose, that place also can be called Zion. Because in that area, in that place, you will experience and enjoy the power and the presence of God. Your ministry will be fulfilled in that particular location. So these are the four sets of Zion that I want us to critically look into. Now, I will talk briefly about the benefits, what we derive from Zion, what we get from Zion, what are the benefits of staying in Zion. Because sometimes you wonder, why will people leave Zion? Why will people, Christians, decide to leave the presence of God? Why will they decide to say, no, I'm okay with this place. I'm satisfied. I don't want to continue with God. I want to go elsewhere. Despite the fact that there are things they enjoy from Zion. And you still wonder, why will people decide to say, I want to leave? So let's quickly go through some of the benefits, some of the things we enjoy in Zion. Number one, we enjoy God's love. We enjoy God's love. Psalm 78, verse 68. We enjoy God's love. Psalm 78, verse 68. Number two, there is rejoicing, there is joy in Zion. The Bible says, let those that mourn in Zion rejoice. Isaiah 35, verse 10. Isaiah 35 verse 10 says, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. So there is joy in Zion. There is security and safety in Zion. Security and safety. Psalm 125 verse 1. Psalm 125 verse 1, it says, we will be like Mount Zion, who cannot be moved. In Mount Zion, we enjoy God's glory and we enjoy His presence. We enjoy His glory and we enjoy His presence. Isaiah chapter 4 verse 5. Isaiah chapter 4 verse 5. Also, it is where God fights for His people. Where God fights for His people. Mount Zion is a place where God fights for His people. Isaiah 31 verse 4. Again, it is a place of deliverance. Obadiah chapter 1 verse 17 says, upon Mount Zion there shall be holiness and there shall be deliverance. And the people of God will possess their possession. So it's a place of deliverance and it's a place where we possess our possessions. It is a place of strength when we are weak. Psalm 20 verse 2 says, strengthen thee, may the Lord strengthen thee out of Zion. Psalm 84 verse 7. Psalm 84 verse 7 says, they go from strength to strength. So it is a place of strength. It is a place of beauty. Where God turns our ashes and turn it to beauty. It is a place of favor and a place where we receive mercy. It is a place of blessing. Now we will ask ourselves, if these are the benefits of staying in Zion, what makes people to sit beside and say, I'm leaving? It sounds odd to hear. But it is because of the following reasons why people leave. I will mention about 5 or 6 why people leave Zion. Number one, many people leave because they do not know that there is law in Zion. There is law in Zion. Oftentimes, we think when we come to Christ, we have liberty. That is true, because where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. But when Jesus was talking to us in, I think in the book of Matthew 11, where he said, come to me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will do what? I will give you rest. So there is rest in Zion. But he went further. Take my yoke upon you. Because my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. That is burden. There is burden. But those burden, many of us, we want to run away from it. So, despite all the benefits, we still want to live without anybody. As far as Jesus is concerned, we have freedom, fine, but there is a demarcation. There is a demarcation where you should not go beyond. So there is law and rules and regulations in Zion. I'm sure you have heard this word, T and C, applied. Time and conditions applies. Don't mind the MTN or whoever. They will tell you they will give you free data. And they just tell you, just go and buy 200 naira worth of data, or recharge 200. We will give you free data. If you don't read them very well, you go and buy that 200 naira and you not receive anything. If you want to sue them, they will say you should read everything down. Then you will not see times and conditions apply. In the kingdom of God, there are times and there are conditions. If you don't fulfill that times, that condition, you are likely going to leave. Either directly or indirectly or ignorantly, you are likely to leave. There is judgment in Zion. I'm telling us why people leave. There is judgment in Zion. In the book of Isaiah chapter 33 verse 5, Isaiah chapter 33 verse 5 says, he fills Zion with judgment and righteousness. There are judgment in Zion. Number three, there is a set standard for those who want to live in Zion. There is a set standard. We can find that in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 6. There is a standard that God has set. You don't come with your own standard to Zion. No. You don't come to your own to Zion because it doesn't belong to you. It is the kingdom of God. It is God that decides this is the way I want people that will stay here to live. So you are not the one to dictate to God, this is how I want to live my life. By the way, I used to hear this. It is my life. It is my life. The truth is, it is not your life. Whatsoever belongs to you, you don't give account of it. If you buy a television and you take it to your home, you don't give account to anybody because it belongs to you. If you like, you can smash it down. If you like, you can decide not to use it for a long time. Nobody will come and query you and say, why are you using your television like this? Because it is your own. But if you are going to give account of your life to God, then it is not your own. The person who you will give account to is the owner of that life. So it is not your own. It is God that decides how you should live your life, not your own. Another reason why people live is because there is holiness requirement. Holiness requirement. As we read before in Obadiah 1:17, upon Mount Zion there shall be holiness. There shall be holiness. So, the next one, this one may not sound well, but we have to say it. Sometimes there could be mourning in Zion. There is nobody that is a true child of God who has spent years in Christ that will not tell you that there are certain times in his or her life that was grief. Except you are not a true Christian. Because the battle of Zion and Babylon is the battle of two kingdoms. And when you are taken away from the kingdom of darkness, Satan will not rest. He will do things that will make you to feel uncomfortable in Zion. And you want to do what? Relax or leave. So occasionally, there could be times of mourning. But the message is for whoever that is mourning in Zion this morning. He said, comfort ye, my people. Comfort those that mourn in Zion. Because the time of your deliverance has come. Another thing that we may not want to hear more is that in Zion, there is travailing. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 8. We travail in Zion. There is travail in Zion. So, I want to ask us this question. Where do you belong? Where do you belong? Every one of us seated here fall into one of these categories in relation to Zion. Every one of us. Number one, those who are not in Zion at all. You could be seated here, but you are not a true child of God. You are here. Number two, those who were once in Zion, but they are no longer there. You may still be in church. I'm talking about the people who are backslided. Number three, those who are not in Zion, but they are assuming that they are in Zion. That is this dangerous state. Dangerous state. You convince yourself that you are there, but you are not there. I remember there was a time I was feeling sleepy. You know, I know some of us don't sleep when someone is on. But I was feeling sleepy. And I decided to stand up. To just, you know, move to the back, just to ensure that at least I drive the sleep away. So I stand behind the usher stand there, where we have the logo. And I rest my back on the wall. And I was just feeling a cool breeze on my head. Cool breeze. I look up. I discover that it was the breeze that was coming from the electronics room that was blowing on my head. I said, I can't stay here. The sleep will catch me fast here. So I have to move away. But where am I going? I was not inside. I was outside. But I was feeling the breeze. I would be so stupid, in quotes, to be thinking that also I'm enjoying we are together. So some of us have convinced ourselves, but as far as God is concerned, we are nowhere to be found. The Bible says, the kingdom of God stands sure. The Lord knows those who belong to Him. And let those who are named the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. God knows. The irony of it is some people think God has accepted them. And they will be waiting for the judgment day that when Christ comes, He will take them away. But remember the story when Jesus was telling some people that came to Him and said, go away from me, I do not know you. You workers of iniquity. And they are trying to convince Jesus. But in your name we cast out demons. In your name we heal the sick. But Jesus said, go away from me, I do not know you. Because you are workers of iniquity. There are people who are seated here who are convincing themselves that they belong to Christ. But genuinely speaking, they are not. If you are in that category, it's a dangerous state. If you are not sure, please do something about it today. And the last category are the people who are actually in Zion. I'm rounding up. We will talk briefly about what it takes to remain in Zion. You know, we said don't leave. So if you are told not to leave, then there are requirements, things that will make you to stay put in Zion. And if you follow these lay down instructions, you will live in Zion till Christ comes. Number one, determination. For you to remain in Zion, you have to be determined. Determination simply means, no matter what comes my way, I will not leave. It is a personal decision and it's a personal choice. That irrespective of what will happen to me, as far as I live on this earth, I will not turn back. It is a matter of determination. We remember the story of the Hebrew children when they were asked to bow down to an idol. And they said, King, let this be known unto you. We are not mindful of what we want to see now. We don't care what will happen to us. As far as we are concerned, we have made up our mind. We are not going to bow to any idol. If God decides to heal us, to deliver us, fine. But if He decides not to deliver us, so be it. Determination. Esther said, if I perish, I perish. Ruth told Naomi, he said, wherever you go, don't persuade me to go back. Wherever you go, I will go. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. So, if you are determined in your mind, you will stay long in Zion. Number two, we must be ready to mortify the deeds of the flesh. We must be ready to put flesh to death. We know that in Romans chapter 8, the Bible talks about flesh waging war against the spirit. But we must be determined to put the flesh to death. Now, the Bible is clear. It didn't say, there are junior brothers, junior brothers of death. They are junior to death, but they are not death. When you are sleeping, sleep is a junior brother of death. When you faint, it is still a junior brother of death. When you are in coma, it is still a junior brother of death. The Bible didn't say, put to sleep. He didn't say that. He didn't say put to coma. He said put to death. Because when somebody is sleeping, disturb him, he will wake up. When somebody is in coma, let him have some favorable conditions, he will wake up. And for us to know whether you are actually dead or alive, certain things God will bring to our ways. And we want to see our response to them. It is our response that will actually determine whether we are dead or alive. Whether we are dead to sin or alive to righteousness. If you want to know whether some people are dead, drop money beside them. If they don't wake up, they are actually dead. If you want to know whether some people are dead, abuse them. And you will know whether they are fainting or sleeping. In the book of 1 John chapter 2 verse 15, 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 to 16, he said, love not the world. I'm going to tell us what it takes to put off, to mortify the deeds of the flesh. The deed of the flesh, in 1 John chapter 2 verse 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. For the things of the world, which are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If you can put these three to death, then we will stay in Zion for life. The lust of the flesh, these are excessive desire of anything that appeals to the flesh. It could be food. Yeah. You will know whether some people are born again when they go to party. Excessive desire of anything that appeals to the flesh. It could be food, it could be sex, it could be money, it could be drinks, it could be fashions. Put all of those things to death. He talks about the lust of the eyes, which are materialism, covetousness, desire to get anything at all cost. They are ready to compare, you know. When they see somebody that has this thing, they want to have it too. Covetousness. They are not satisfied with what they have. And the Bible says godliness with contentment is a great gain. Then we have the pride of life. Ambition for that which pulls us up. Egocentric. Putting ourselves on the throne of our own life. You just want to brag. You want people to know who you are. You don't, you know, it's a pride of life. Somebody told me the story of a professor one day. Somebody sent a message to him. Go and deliver this message to this professor. Ask of him. And so the person entered the office of that. He was a doctor, PhD doctor. But he has been promoted to become professor. But the person that sent a message to him didn't know that he has become a professor. So this person entered the office and said, good afternoon, sir. Sorry, sir, I'm asking for Dr. Solomon. The man looked at him, said, Dr. Solomon, this is not his office. So the man went back and was confused. He was asking the people around, I'm looking for Dr. Solomon, and that is his office. The man I met there said he's not Dr. Solomon. Said, you call him doctor? You made a mistake. Go back. Tell him you are looking for Professor Solomon. So he enters. He says, sir, I'm looking for Professor Solomon. Say, what can I do for you? Pride of life. The next thing is that you need to be positive about things that happens to you. Be positive. Be positive. What I mean by be positive is this. As children of God, always tell yourself that all things work together for my good. If you have that mentality, you will stay in Zion, irrespective of what happened to you. Now, There is a condition. All things work together for good for those who love God. If you are suffering as a result of sin and disobedience, you can't claim that scripture. You cannot. So, it is the people who are actually working in the line and the will of God. You have to be positive. No matter what happened to you, be positive. People die anyhow, people commit suicide, people leave church because some terrible things are happening to them. But if you can talk to yourself and say, as far as I'm concerned, whatever God allows to happen to me is for my good, you will remain in Zion. Let me give you a story of a funny story of a wise man who has a son. Because the man wants to teach the son how to live in this wicked world, how to live in this world without allowing anything to affect him negatively. So one day this boy went to his father and said, "Father, anytime I visit these people, this family, whenever they are serving food, they always give me the head. They will call, you know, the head of the fish. They always give me, and I don't like it." The man laughed. He said, "That is the best part." The boy was confused. He said, "How?" He said, "Don't you know what the Bible says? That the head, you shall be the head and not they." The boy was happy. He was happy. So he went, the other day he went back, they gave him the head again. As he was eating, he was telling his friends, you know, "My daddy said anybody that is eating the head of a fish, it will be the head and not the tail." The children run to their mom, say, "Mommy, give us head though. We don't want this thing again." The woman was confused. He said, because this person said, "If you hit the head, you become the head." The woman said, "Otomani." So he started giving the children in the house head. So next time when the boy visited, he gave the boy the tail. So the boy went back home angry. He said, "This time, father, they didn't give me head." And he told the father laughed. He said, "Didn't you read the scripture? That the last will become the first." And he said, "Do you know that tail of the fish is actually the one that controls the movement of the head? So when they give you the tail, hit it very well." So the man went again. So next time when they gave him the tail, he was still eating and say, "The last shall become the first." The children had again, they run to their mother. The mother said, "Rukilele, okay, let's be giving him the middle, you know, the middle part. You will be eating the head and the tail." So he went back to the father again. The father laughed. He said, "That is the best part." He said, "You know the head, they will go and walk. The tail will also go and walk. What the tail gets, it will bring it to the middle. What the head gets, it will bring it to the middle. And you will hit the fattest of it all." What was the lesson that the father was teaching? Whatsoever situation that comes your way, be positive about it. Be positive. There was a story of this man. He was, each time he sleeps, he always dream, seeing himself picking snails. When he wakes up, he will be casting out the demons, the spirit of slowness, you know, will be casting it out. And each time he does that, after some time, he will still be picking snails. So one day, he went to the market because he has gone for so many deliverances and the snail was still coming in his dream. So he decided and said, "Okay, let me go to the market and buy these snails, real life. Let me eat them. If I eat them real life, they will be afraid to be coming to see me in the dream." Unfortunately for him, when he got to where he wanted to buy the snail, he said, "How much are you selling this snail?" They brought out just one. He said, "This one, 1,000 naira. This one, 1,000 naira. And he was trying to compare it with other meats in the market. But this is the most expensive meat in the market. Immediately something rang in his mind. "That the dream I want to kill myself for. Why didn't I turn it? Because as a man thinks, so he is. So that means it is the rich people that eat snail. Wow. So he changed his mentality and said, each time I see snail in my dream, I will be thanking God. Picking snail, it is said only the rich eat snails. So he was no longer going for deliverance. Anytime you have a dream and you wake up, say, Father, I thank you because you have made me a rich man. After some time, the snail didn't appear to him in the dream again. It depends on how you take life, the interpretation you give to things that comes your way. Lastly, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Because the Bible says we should comfort those who mourn in Zion. We should not lose hope. Whoever that is hopeful will live long. Whoever that is hopeful will not commit suicide. Whoever that is hopeful will not leave Zion because he knows that better part of life is still coming to him. Be hopeful. And number six, I don't know where I am now. Always remind yourself that Satan is not the better master. He's not the better master. Tell yourself, to whom shall I go? To whom shall I go? Number six. Don't abandon the fellowship of brethren. My time is up. Don't abandon the fellowship of brethren. Number seven. Always allow Christ to be your model. Always let Jesus Christ be your model. Jesus Christ, let him always be your model, not human being. So look up unto Christ, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Let Jesus Christ always be your model, not a human, not pastor. Because many people backslide when they look at some people and say, ah, Sepetis is a pastor. If you make man your model, the best of man is still a man. Then, number eight, don't envy unbelievers. Don't envy them. David said, he said, I almost lost my salvation when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. But when I went to the sanctuary of the Lord, I saw their hand. Don't envy at all. It is not all you see that there is. You will see them on Facebook, you see them on Twitter, you see them here. You will think life is good to them. Many of them wept in their closets. One sad story of one popular celebrity, either in USA or so. In the morning, he appeared and, you know, they were interviewed. And she was laughing, and everybody was applauding him, everybody was envying her. That same day, in the night, she committed suicide. Stay in Christ. Don't envy. If you are struggling now, fine. A time will come that things will turn around for good for you. Stay in Christ. Remain in Christ. Abide in Christ. I will round up with this. There is no situation you find yourself today that you cannot have a better tomorrow. No matter how bad or how ugly the situation is today, you can have a better tomorrow. I hope my wife will not hear this. There was a day I was in the house and I just became angry. You know, I flashed my mind back to when we were growing up in the village. As I was remembering, I was angry. Though I'm happy now, but then, because in that, they will give you big food, Amala, that even a blind man can see. But the soup, you will need electronic microscope to look for the meat. So one day I said, look, and thank God I have some chicken behind at the back. I said, today let me revenge. So I want to go and pick one chicken. I kill it. I hope my wife is still hearing. I kill it, I dress it, and I boil it, and I began to eat. Thank God, I didn't do it when she was around because she would caution me not to do it. So I ate, I was tired. The following morning, I started having... Just to prove that I was not happy, I was annoyed. As I was going to the toilet, when I come back, I will pick another chicken again and eat. I will go to the toilet. I will go back again, pick another chicken and eat. At the time, I said, boy, don't kill yourself. Why did I say this? Time will change. No matter what you are passing through now, time will change. A servant of God who was not ready to compromise was working in a secondary school. And they told him, you know, in this place, so we used to help our students. And the salary was just 20,000 naira. So when the day of WAEC came, they said, yeah, the man refused. He said, I'm a Christian. I can't compromise. And they said, you will lose your job. That 20,000 naira was not even enough for transportation for a month. You can know how hard it was for the man. And he said, no problem. God will help me out. And they sacked him. So he looked for another school. They employed him. And they were giving him 25,000 naira. And he told them point blank, me, I don't do assistant to whatever. They said, no problem. So he was gathering some fellowship students and will be teaching them the word of God. When God decided to honor him, one day some people just called him and said, come and preach to us. And he ministered to them and they gave him, you know, honorarium. When he opened it, he said, even if I'm working for the next 3 years together, I can't get this honorarium. Stand by God. Remain in Him. Don't compromise your faith. Don't compromise what you believe in. It may be tough today, but tomorrow will not be the same. God says, as you comfort those who mourn in Zion, if your experience is that at the moment you are hurting, at the moment you are mourning, God has arisen for you. Don't let your problem, don't let your difficulties draw you further away from God. Let it be an opportunity to draw closer to God. Oh. a situation now that you don't know whether you should go back or you stand. God is drawing you closer to Himself this morning. Draw closer to Him. You may cry, you may weep. It is fine, it is accepted. You may be mourning now in Zion. But the Bible says, weeping may endure till the night, but joy comes in the morning. Are you a student? You don't even know how to pay your school fees. Don't compromise. Draw closer to God, He will help you out. Are you a man? You are not happy with your life again. You don't know whether you should throw in the towel. But hear the word of comfort from Zion. I will help you. Let your trouble draw you closer to God. Sometimes when God needs your attention, He throws to us some challenges of life. See that it is a moment of God calling your attention to Himself. Because there is always a way out. Come to God. You are a woman. You are always crying in your home because there is no joy, there is no peace. But the word of comfort has come forth to you this morning. Draw closer to God. Don't leave Zion. Don't leave Zion. There is no better option outside. The best place to be is to still be in the presence of God. Job said, even if He slay me, I will still remain faithful. Draw your heart closer to God.
Because you have seen our nakedness, you've seen our hypocrisy, you've seen the lies we tell to ourselves, but you are the only true God. If it had not been the love you had for us, you would not be drawing our attention to what you are saying. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for speaking the truth to us. You said we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. Break every contrary yoke, therefore, and let us take only your yoke, for it is your yoke that is easy, and your burden that is light. Thank you for your servant whom you have used to bring this to our remembrance today. Lord, replenish him. Uphold him with the right hand of your righteousness. Make him to stand to the very end. In Jesus' name we pray.